Well, good morning. It's time for the 8 o'clock block. And this morning, again, we have Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Good morning, Todd. Good
morning, Mark.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. Well, good. So what's new at Woodland Terrace?
So we have been waiting for some updated guidance from MDHHS. CMS and CDC released some updated guidance about 2 weeks ago. And MDHHS has been going through that information to see what in their orders they're going to update. And on Friday at about 6 o'clock, we got an update. And at this time, the only thing that's changing is our testing protocol. So right now we are testing home for the aged licenses and adult foster care licenses with assisted living. All employees are tested weekly, regardless of vaccination status. If we have a positive, then we test all employees and all residents until we've gone 14 days without a positive result. So going forward, the only thing that has been updated at this point is that employees that are fully vaccinated do not have to get routinely tested anymore. They would get tested if there's anyone that tests positive along with the residents, but it removes the vaccinated employees from those getting routinely tested each week.
Mm-hmm. Good. And so as long as they don't test positive, everything's fine.
Correct.
Right. And nobody's positive yet.
No. And I think I think the state is really pushing, you know, to get more people vaccinated. So I think that they're taking baby steps with implementing the CMS and CDC guidelines in hopes that with these different steps, they can encourage more people to get vaccinated. So I think with this step, you know, they're trying to encourage more employees to get fully vaccinated, because then once they're fully vaccinated, they would not have to be tested weekly anymore.
And so what does it look like for someone who's moving into assisted living at this time?
So we've been allowed to have visitors coming into our building since the beginning of March. So we do have families coming in now. We are giving tours to people. You know, each campus in Michigan, I think, is operating a little differently. You basically take MDHHS's guidelines and you try to figure out A, what it means, and B, how that works for your campus. So we are giving tours. Anyone that's coming into our buildings for a tour is getting screened like any visitor that would come in to see a resident. So it's scheduled in advance. You go through the screening process at the door. And again, everyone in our building right now is also wearing masks. So anyone coming in for a tour is wearing a mask. But it is allowing families to come in and see the space that their loved one will be living. There was a long time in 2020 where we weren't allowed to do any new move-ins. And then once we were allowed to do new move-ins, families still weren't able to come into apartments. So we were doing a lot of virtual tours, a lot of come and see the apartment through the window outside. It's been nice to be able to have people be able to come into the building, you know, actually see where their loved one or where they would be living. So, I think it's been a challenge for our industry through the pandemic, just because of the limitation on visitation, and because people's inability of coming into the building to see the apartment before making the choice, you know, people were really putting off making the choice to make that move, unless there was something that had happened that they had no other choice. So I think as things are loosening up, people are able to make better decisions, and they're not having to make it into crisis mode. And so getting them into the building to see the apartments and see what the building looks like and to kind of envision themselves living there or their loved one living there has been really helpful in people making that choice.
Mm-hmm. How long does the process take from the time that somebody comes to visit you and see the room to the time that they get to move in?
So honestly, for every person, it's really driven by what the resident's needs are. You know, if there's someone who is in skilled nursing doing rehab and being discharged but can't go home yet, where that need is being driven for it to happen a little faster, you know, we're usually able to accommodate kind of whatever speed the resident or the prospective resident and their family is looking to move. It can take anywhere from 2 days to 2 weeks. And we really work with the families.
And so once someone has decided that they want to move in, what's the process like for them?
So, you know, if time is on our side, we try to get, there's a lot of paperwork that we have to do, specific forms we have to have signed, as part of our licensing with the state. We try in most scenarios to get the majority of that paperwork done in advance. We, you know, people are typically moving in their own personal belongings to furnish their apartment. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to, when we're able to, get them to get everything into the apartment. So the day that the resident moves in can be just about the resident. So we're trying not to do paperwork on that day. We're trying not to be physically moving stuff in and out of their apartment. So they can literally move into their apartment, get acclimated to their space, you know, meet the staff, meet the other residents in the building, to really help make that transition as smooth as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so they can, their own furniture, their own decorations on the wall and everything, basically it's like any other apartment.
It is like any other apartment. So we really encourage people to really bring things that personalize their apartment to make it feel as much like home as possible. It also, you know, when people have pictures around their apartment of their families and their friends, it's really a good place for our employees to start in engaging in different conversations with the new residents as they move and kind of help those conversations just naturally happen. The more that someone can make it their own space, the more comfortable they're going to feel.
So what's it like for the residents interacting with each other in common spaces?
So inside of our buildings, everything looks much more normal than it has for the last 14 months. We are having activities. We are eating in the dining room. Residents are moving about the building as they please. We do encourage residents, when they're able to wear a mask out in common spaces, to wear them, just because we do have guests coming in now to see residents into the building. But it's only if a resident's able to tolerate it. But people are moving about the building as they pre-COVID always have, with mm-hmm. activities, you know, visiting with each other outside of scheduled activity times, with meals. You know, everyone's coming down to the dining room. So inside of the building, it's looking way more normal than it has for a while.
Mm-hmm. So what's independent living like?
So our independent living, we offer housekeeping services and we offer meals. There are some activities in the independent living, but for the most part, our residents are typically very independent. A lot of our residents are in the independent living are still driving, so they're coming and going, you know, as their schedule is driving them. And we actually have residents within our independent living, especially in Bridgman, that do a lot of, I would say, self-organized activities. So they plan movie nights with each other, where they collectively choose what movie they're going to watch each week or the nights they have the movie nights. There's different groups that get together for card games. So there's a lot more self-planning because their schedules are all so different. They do a lot of their own planning of, you know, how they're going to socially interact when they are in the building together.
Mm-hmm. And then assisted living, how is that different?
So in assisted living, we actually provide services to the residents. So we have some residents that are very independent, that they're really there for us to manage their medications. And then also there because they know that there's staff 24 hours a day that can assist them should they need help. And then there are other residents that are dependent on us for things throughout the day, whether it be just getting up in the morning, whether it be going to bed at night, whether it be, you know, I can dress myself, but I can't put my shoes on. So, you know, there's a big variety of ways that we assist residents in our assisted living with their activities of daily living.
Very good. In memory care?
Memory care and assisted living, as far as the services that we provide, are very similar. So we, again, are assisting with activities of daily living, medication management, and meals and activities. With our memory care units, there's a higher staff to resident ratio. So someone who's requiring more assistance, someone that has any kind of cognitive impairment, whether it be dementia or anything else that makes it a more appropriate placement for them behavior-wise. And also because we have a higher staff to resident ratio in that building, you know, someone who is needing more assistance, someone who's a two person assist, you know, over a 24-hour period, you know, that's the building that we're able to accommodate that. Our memory care unit is also their secured unit. So there's keypads to get in and out of all of the doors. So if someone is an elopement risk, most definitely memory care is an appropriate place for them to be and to be safe.
Very good. So there's a place for everybody.
There is.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks for the update this week, Todd.
Thank you very much.
Great. Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace Senior Living.